This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. We are studying the Book of Mormon as members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This year, we're back to the Book of Mormon, and the fascination with that, I would say, has grown to new heights, particularly in view of some of the criticisms that have been leveled against the church and against the contents of the Book of Mormon by critics. I've been involved in a number of those skirmishes, shall we say. A few years ago, I debated with a former Mormon, as he liked to describe himself, and he was actually a very nice guy. I enjoyed our conversations. He decided to leave the church over four issues. One, mention of the horse in the Book of Mormon, which he said was a complete anachronism because horses came into the New World with Columbus. The mention of elephants in the Book of Ether, in the Book of Mormon, which is kind of a mention in passing, but it is there. And then we have the issue of steel swords. In other words, the sword of Laban. His claim was that there was no such thing as steel until the 1800s and the late 1800s at that. And so it was a complete anachronism. And the fourth topic, DNA. He said that it had been absolutely proven by a number of people that Native Americans all descended from peoples of Asian descent and not from the Middle East. So today, because those issues arise over and over again, and I was hit with those again on Facebook in a small discussion that I was having by somebody who was very skeptical of the church. And I had a nice but polite interchange about that. And so at the beginning of the year, straight out of the chute today, I wanted to talk about those issues. DNA, steel swords, elephants, and horses. Are those things plausible or are they anachronisms? Let's start off with horses. They were mentioned in the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi chapter 18, verse 25, in Enos chapter 1, verse 21, and in Alma chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. It's pretty sparse. They're never mentioned as being ridden, but they are being mentioned as being part of the animals that were raised by the Nephites at one point in time. So is this plausible? I've heard all kinds of explanations that this was some kind of a different animal that were called horses. They weren't really horses. Maybe. But there are a number of ways that we can actually show that genuine horses really were here before Columbus, contrary to what most people traditionally believe. Let's start off with just a few sources. One of these is something that I bring up from time to time. There's a newspaper article in the San Diego Union Tribune. It's from July 17th of 2005. And in that particular article, it describes in Carlsbad, California, that people who were working on a construction project ran into some horse remains. And so the construction was ceased and they were dug up. This was an archaeological find. And so what happened was that in this article, it was demonstrated that these were not from the Spanish. They were not shod. They were carbon 14 dated to before the earliest settlements of the Spanish came over. And the article itself says that the carbon 14 dating was quite astonishing because it showed that there were horses here against conventional wisdom before the time of Columbus. That was really quite neat. I like that a lot. There are a number of other sources that do similar kinds of things. One of the really fascinating sources that I liked was an article that was by the National Academy of Sciences. And it analyzed some horse remains that it found. And in those remains, they found that they carbon 14 dated till much, much more recently than the supposed complete extinction that had happened at the time the Ice Age ended in about 10,000 BC. Since then, and actually prior to that as well, I've tracked down dozens of different sources that are scientific. Most of them carbon 14 dated, some dated particularly by the remains of other circumstances surrounding them that show that horses were indeed in the New World before Columbus. I'll mention just a few others in addition to that paper that I mentioned earlier. One of the most fascinating for me is one that dates till about 700 years ago. That would be very close to the end of the Nephite era. This was found in North America. It was found in a place called Little Box Elder Cave in Wyoming. And the carbon 14 dating was done by a worker for the state of Wyoming. So this is not some crazy source. This is an actual real source. There's another, well, I could list dozens like this. Some are also in the West. Montana is another example. There were a number of horse bones that carbon 14 dated to about the beginning of the time that the Nephites would have arrived on the scene. That's about 1,700 years or so before the present, approximately. That's the time they were dated to. And these were dated by the Illinois State University in Springfield. Dozens of others abound, and they're not all in North America. There are many that were found in Central America and Mesoamerica. One of the fascinating parts for me about the Mesoamerican ones is that some of those have been published in various newspaper reports. There have been horse bones that have been found in caves and with human remains in Central America as well. So let's move on to the slightly more controversial and also less documented, but also found a lot less by way of references in the Book of Mormon to elephants. There is, of course, the reference in Ether, chapter 9, verse 19, where it says that the Jaredites had elephants and Kerloms and Cummums, all of which were useful unto man, and more especially the elephants and Kerloms and Cummums. Well, what were the Kerloms and Cummums? Well, some people think llamas and alpacas, but truth is, who really knows? When we come back, more about elephants, steel, and DNA in the Book of Mormon. This is Religion Today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we're talking about supposed anachronisms that upon close inspection, upon some serious scholarly deep diving, if you drill right down into these topics, are not really anachronisms at all. They turn out to be evidences for the Book of Mormon rather than against it. What are we talking about? Horses, elephants, steel swords, and DNA. So let's wrap up elephants here for a minute or two. Did elephants live in the New World, or were they just in Siberia? Everybody is familiar with woolly mammoths from Siberia. They were also in the New World. The question is, how late did they survive? We now know from some carbon-14 data from scientific sources that mammoths survived, which are a form of elephant, in what is now Alaska and farther south for a long, long time after the end of the Ice Age. We also know that there was a different variety of mammoths that survived that lived in South America and Central America. We know some of these are so well known by locals that it's funny they don't get more widely circulated, some of these sources. There's a mammoth carving that dates to about 4,500 BC or so, found in Florida in 1978. It's clearly an elephant, and from the basic body type, it looks like a mammoth, although it's without hair. And it shows the sloping back that goes down on the mammoths as compared with the more flat back that we see in more modern types of elephants today. We know that woolly mammoths have been found in the Alaskan areas till just and also in St. Paul until just about 5,000 years ago. That would place them well within the Jaredite time frame. And we also know from a study that was done in 2016 and published in the National Academy of Sciences magazine that there were woolly mammoths that lived on St. Paul Island in Alaska until very, very recently. We also know, and this is not in Book of Mormon lands, but we know that there's radiocarbon dating evidence that mammoths survived on a place called Wrangell Island until just about 2000 BC, and perhaps even earlier, or excuse me, more recently. It's an amazing thing how conventional wisdom changes. And then you get to Central America. There was an article published by Reuters in 2016, and it talked about the remains of mammoths uncovered near Mexico City. There was a whole pile of mammoth remains that were discovered in several regions of Mexico in areas near lakes where herds apparently congregated. There were Colombian mammoths that lived in the United States and Central America in that region. And from the quality of the bones, these were probably not not fossilized bones, but bones that could be carbon-14 dated because they were recent enough for that. All right, let's move on to steel swords. One of the other big things that debaters often come up with is in 1 Nephi chapter 4, verse 9, you have this description of the sword of Laban. And the idea is that, wait a minute, this is 600 years before the time of Christ. There was no steel. How can you have the blade of the sword of Laban being made of precious steel, like it mentions in 1 Nephi chapter 4, verse 9? The answer is, we can absolutely say that there was precious steel during that time period. How? There's a fascinating find that was made in the 1980s. There was a place in and around Jericho that archaeologists were looking at, and they discovered what we might call a fortress or a fortified farm, and they found a sword there. And it's 3 feet long. It's not some small little sword. It's 3 feet long, something that looked very much like the medieval swords in Europe and could easily have, because of its length and heft, been used to decapitate somebody. And what was the dating of this sword? Well, it dated till after 700 BC, but prior to 600 BC. So somewhere in the mid 650s, 648, 620s, 630s, this sword was manufactured. And there's a great article about this that was put together in a paper that was published for the museum in Israel. And it says that this was iron that was deliberately hardened into steel. So this is a steel sword, and it was quite amazingly ornamented. And it dates to prior to the time that Lehi and his family left Jerusalem. So the oldest known steel swords in the world just happen to be from the same place where Laban was known to have lost his head, according to the Book of Mormon records. Let's jump to our very last topic for the day. This one is one that makes me a little bit miffed from time to time. And it all stems from a Los Angeles Times article that was published in December of 2002 by then Latter-day Saint anthropologist Thomas Murphy. And in his article, he went on to say that DNA research demonstrates what anthropologists have long said, that the American Indians came across the Bering Strait from Asia and they have no trace of Middle Eastern ancestry. Well, that's what Murphy said in the LA Times. And yet he wasn't very well read on the subject, because if he had been 4 years earlier in 1998, in Science Magazine, which is one of the most prestigious science magazines in the world. If you're interested in the date, it's April 24th of 1998. And the synopsis of it, the abstract at the beginning, says this, quote, "Anthropologists have recently been puzzled by surprising features on a handful of ancient Native American skeletons that closely resemble those of Europeans rather than Asians." And then it goes on to say that a new genetic study, think DNA, links Native Americans and people from the Middle East, quote, "offering tantalizing support to a controversial theory that a band of people who originally lived in Asia Minor were among the first inhabitants of this continent." And then it goes on to say that, quote, "living Native Americans and in certain groups of Israelis, this genetic marker is found, but not in any Asian population," close quote. So Science Magazine contradicts Tom Murphy and John DeLynn and a bunch of other critics just because they're not well read. So there you go. The Book of Mormon, vindicated by science, by people who have nothing to do with the LDS faith. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.